Amen. Amen. I love Palm Sunday. I think I said this on some of my social media last night. It really is one of my favorite Sundays of the year to preach, and it has been that way for a long, long time. I love this day. I think because it really sets the stage, and it really begins a very important season. Not that every Sunday isn't important, and not that every season isn't important. All of them are, but there's something significant about this moment. If you are a student of your Bible, we've been in the Word the last few weeks with Words Matter. Go to the podcast and catch up. We've been teaching good, and God's been speaking to us the last number of weeks. But if you're a student of your Bible, when you get to Palm Sunday and you begin to just kind of walk this journey, travel this road with Jesus, with the disciples, with those who are followers of the Lord, man, these are significant days, because it begins the journey from right now, Palm Sunday, all the way through Easter, continuing right on to Pentecost, which is the birth of the church. And so the foundation, the importance there is just massive. And so we're celebrating that. We're talking about that beginning today. And then, as I mentioned, Good Friday at 7 o'clock and Resurrection Sunday at 10 a.m. Invite someone to be with you as we tell this story. Easter is an exciting season around the church, and it should be. Man, we're working hard to spruce things up and to roll out some new things. We're cleaning up because we know the company is coming, and we welcome them. We're excited about them coming. New parking lot paint, and our mission is being painted. It's halfway done. We've got more to do tomorrow, but our mission is on the lobby wall. And then there's always special worship and communion on Good Friday. All of those things, our kids, thousands of Easter eggs that are going to be put out for all of the kids to hunt and have a great time with. I'm excited about having a special needs section for Easter eggs this year. I think it's just fantastic to bless the kids and to celebrate and to see all of these things happen. And Easter has become a celebration for the church, and it should be. It absolutely should be a celebration. But make no mistake about it, Easter is about commitment. We're going to celebrate, and we're going to have Easter eggs, and we're going to take pictures with families, and all of that is beautiful, and all of that is special. But Easter is about commitment, because this is the story of His commitment toward us, His love for us. This is the story of Him dying in our place. You do realize today that you and I are the ones that should have died for our sin. You realize that you and I are the ones who should have paid the price for our sin. But He said, "Let me be the sacrifice. Let me die in their place. Let me take on the sin of the whole world, and let me die in their place." Place, and now they can find new life in me. Yes, His passion begins today. Passion, capital P. It's the the word to describe His suffering and this journey, and ultimately the reason that He came. All of that begins on Palm Sunday, and so Easter should also be the story of our commitment and love towards Him as well. It shouldn't just be the celebration of all that he's done for us, but it should be a celebration and a response of all that we are willing to do for him. And so I want to talk a little bit about that commitment today and tell you that whatever you do, don't stop at the gate. Look at somebody and tell them, don't stop at the gate. Whatever you do, don't stop at the gate. Let me read Matthew 21, a few verses today, beginning at verse number 7. The Bible said they brought the donkey and the colt to him and threw their garments over the colt, and he sat on it. Most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people all around him were shouting, "Praise God for the Son of David! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Praise God in highest heaven!" The entire city of Jerusalem was in an uproar as he entered, and this is what they were saying, "Who is this?" they asked. And the crowds replied, "It's Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." I mean, here are people everywhere. They're all around him. And I love Matthew's wording when he says that he was in the center of the procession. He was right in the middle of it all. All of the attention was on him. All of Jerusalem, its population is swelling. The crowds are growing. All of them are anticipating this special time. They begin to come from every corner of that community. They begin to come from everywhere as they hear the commotion. The entire city was in an uproar. All of them are asking the same question: who is this? Who? What is all of this about? Why are we running toward the crowd? I don't know if you've ever maybe been in a mall, or there's something that happens and you don't know what it is that happened, but you see people moving quickly towards something. You see people moving fast, and before you know it, you find yourself moving a little faster, and you're just curious. You're wanting to see what it is. Other people are moving quickly toward the scene, and you want to move quickly as well. No one wants to be left out. We all move faster, and we don't even know why it is that we're moving faster. We're just trying to see what is going on. That's much of what is happening in Jerusalem. They're all wanting to know, who is this? And there is an answer. It's Jesus, the prophet. He's come, and something special is happening. But you see, as of all that he has done, of all Jesus has done up to this point, what Matthew is telling us about is the most important. Of all of the events that Jesus has been a part of all of the special moments that have taken place in the last 3.5 years, of all of the things that have happened in Jesus' ministry, this is important. Why? Because Jesus was entering into his passion. It is known as the triumphal entry. It's the triumphal entry. It's the gate, if you will. It's the entrance to all that is about to unfold. He's entering into Easter. He's entering into the moment of why he is here in the first place. I know many people will argue that Jesus came to do the miracles, but that's not why Jesus came. Some would argue that Jesus came, he came to teach on the hillside, but no, while everything he said on the hillside was important, that's not the ultimate reason that he came. The reason that he came was for this moment. He came to go to the cross. He came to be put into that tomb. He came so that he could become the sacrifice for the sin of the whole world. It is the entry. It is the gate. It is the moment for why he is here. Because without this gate, his miracles would not have mattered. Without this gate, the words that he spoke on the hillside would not have mattered. Without this gate, everything that he has done up until this point would not have mattered. Because while the Pharisees and the Sadducees and so many of those people, they didn't deny his miracles. They didn't deny the words that he was speaking. But hear me, Jesus was not the only miracle worker. There were others. There were other people that seemed to be gifted, so they just looked at Jesus. And many people today still look at Jesus as a gifted man, but they did not believe him to be the Messiah. So this gate that he is walking through, this entry that he is walking through, it is important. Why? Because Easter changes everything. It changes everything. It sets him apart from every other gifted ministry, if I can use that terminology. It sets him apart from every other idol that had been lifted up. It sets him apart from every other god, lower G, that had been exalted. It sets him apart from everyone who ever would be exalted or believed to be a god. Easter changes everything, but it had to begin somewhere, and it began with him walking through this gate, a triumphal entry. That's his gate. Let me read you another verse of scripture. Psalms 100 and verse 4 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Enter his gates. Well, wait a minute, Pastor Darrell. We're talking about the gate of Jesus. We're talking about the entry of Jesus. And in no way, we don't want him to stop at the gate. But what are you trying to say? What is this about our gate? What is this about our entrance? What is this about who we are and what we are supposed to do? That's what David said. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. It's a verse about praise. We quote it often. We speak it often. We declare it often. We are a people of praise. We are a people of worship. And hear me, praise is important, but it almost seems as though we've made praise the end all or the goal. That if we can get people to praise, if we can get people to worship, man, we have arrived. That is the apex. That is as good as it gets. Don't get me wrong. Don't misunderstand me. If you're praising today, that means you're not doing something else. I'm glad you're worshiping. I'm so thankful for our team today. Did you enjoy that new song, King of Glory? Just want to be with you, man. I love that song, and they did it so beautifully today. I worship. It's just finding new levels and fresh anointing, and I'm so thankful for it. I could hear you singing today. Listen, it is going to be one of the values of this church. It's going to be one of the centerpieces of the church. Covington, we're going to take the first 35 minutes or so of every Sunday, and we're going to worship the Lord. I hope you don't see that as just extra time to hang out in the cafe. I hope you don't view that as just extra time to talk in the lobbies, or God forbid, just come greet everybody. Why? Listen, if there's worship going on, I want to be worshiping. I want to have my hands lifted somewhere. I want to have my feet planted somewhere. nowhere giving God the praise that he is worthy of. Why? Because he said, enter his gates. That's the beginning place. That's the starting place. That's the place where things begin to take shape. That's the place where things begin to come together. I want to enter his gates. And I know if you're worshiping, then you're not doing something else, and that's good. Because if you're praising, that means you are not worrying. If you're praising, then that means you're not fighting your brother. If you're praising, then you're not living in negativity. You're not living in doubt. You're not living in depression. If you're praising, then there are doors being unlocked in your life, and there are windows that are open over your life. There are heavens that are opened over your life. Somebody ought to be getting this by now. Worship is important. Praise is important. It is the gate that we enter and walk. But listen, in a world as crazy as ours is right now, in a society that is as upside down as ours seems to be right now, in a climate where there is so much strife and there is so much anger and, dare I say, there is so much hatred for man against man and between people and races and all of these things, sometimes we're like, man, if anybody shows up today, it's a win. If anyone walks through the doors, we just need to count this as a successful Sunday. I'm so glad you're here today. The way they've hyped the weather this week, they've said everything but a blizzard was going to happen today. I'm fully expecting when this service concludes and I finally lay eyes on one of these windows that there's going to be 18 or maybe 24 inches of snow out there on the front lawn. Listen to me. These weathermen are bored. They're bored. They don't have anything else to do, so they just get us nervous and scared, and they got all the golfers just 90 miles away from us scared to death. It's just crisis, and I'm not saying don't heed their warnings, but I'm just glad you came to church today, even though it was raining, even though there was some rain coming. There may be rain happening when you leave, but you know what? We'll get an umbrella. We'll make sure you don't get wet. We'll make sure no one melts in the parking lot on our freshly painted stripes. If you melt, I hope you're wearing yellow. Charles, you have permission to melt today. You're wearing yellow. If you're wearing white, you have permission to melt. But if you're wearing any other color, you can't melt on the parking lot. I'm glad you're at church. But sometimes we've stopped at, oh Lord, Bishop Jakes called it the pediatrics of praise. We've stopped at the beginning place. We've stopped at the gate. The thing that ought to be the entrance. We've made that the goal. We've made that the home run. We've made that the win. Just the beginning thing, the elementary thing. And David said, listen, that's just where you're supposed to begin. Praise is not where you're supposed to end. That's just supposed to be your beginning. Don't stop at the gate. That wouldn't make any sense. You have to keep going once you enter the gate in order to arrive at your destination. You got to drive through the gate and keep going. The gate is intended to open. The gate is intended to unlock and to allow entrance to more. How many have ever been to someone's really big house? You know, maybe it's someone's house, or maybe it's just a really palatial estate or some kind of, but I mean, just the gate blew you away. Have you ever been to that kind of place? I've been to a few of those. I've never lived in one. Never had a gate anywhere I've lived. Not opposed to it. Maybe I'll get one someday. But I've a few times been so blown away by the gate that I wasn't sure I should progress any further. Because I'm just looking at the gate. And all the gate is telling me, all the gate is communicating to me, the gate is communicating to me that whatever is down the road, whatever's on the other side of this gate, Whatever's happening down over the hill and around the corner that I cannot see from the gate. But can I tell you, there's never been one event that I've ever been invited to that took place at the gate. There's not been one party I've ever been invited to that took place at the gate. No, when they brought me to the gate, they said there's a keypad or there's a camera or, you know, I remember years ago I was preaching in Augusta long before I lived in Georgia, and I was just so blown away. This is Master Week. I kind of fond of golf, and but I was so blown away to be on Washington Road or Washington Street, whatever they call it, and I'd been up and down that road several times during my stay there, and I was so shocked to find out that just on the other side of those big tall trees was the most gorgeous and palatial and famous golf courses in all of the world. Because the road outside, it doesn't look like much. You don't realize that you're somewhere. And so I thought, you know what, I'm going to pull in there, and I'm dressed nice. I'm in some slacks and a nice shirt. I'm going to go into the clubhouse, and I'm going to eat me one of them pimento cheese sandwiches, and I'm going to buy me a cap, and I'm going to say I've been to the Masters. And so I pulled up at the gate. I was driving a nice car. I wasn't in a hoopty. I wasn't broke down. I didn't need jumper cabers. I looked like I belonged there. But there were security guards that came. I don't know where they came from. Out of the bushes. They came from everywhere. Up under the ground. They came from overhead. They stopped and said, no. What can we help you? Oh, I just thought I would come and eat. It's about lunchtime. I'm going to come eat a pimento cheese sandwich. I think those cost about $2. I can afford that. I'm going to get me a ball cap. And the man said, what color cap would you like? Green, of course. He said, wait right here. All of a sudden, from way down the road, just barely visible, I could see a golf cart coming my direction. They were coming. And finally, down that long drive, Azalea Drive, whatever it's called. They finally arrived to my car, and that man got off of that golf cart and had a wooden, nice little wooden tray, and on that tray was an assortment of Augusta National Masters golf caps. He had them there in a variety of colors, and he said, just pick the one that you would like. And I said, wait a minute, this is not how this is supposed to happen. I don't want to stop at the gate. I want to go in and see. They said, no, you cannot do that. It's members only. You're not allowed to come inside and pick out your own cap or eat one of our pimento cheese sandwiches. We don't need your $2. Got plenty of dollars. I was stopped at the gate, and I was so embarrassed. I was so humiliated. I didn't even know what to do. This is so awkward. This is so strange. Why? Because the good things don't happen at the gate. You've got to get inside. You've got to go a little further. The gate is only about entrance. The party is never held at the gate. The important meeting never takes place at the gate. So why would I stop at the gate? Why would I make praise the last thing, the most important thing, the apex thing? Why would I stop with praise? Don't stop on Palm Sunday. You got to keep going all the way to Easter, because that's where the good stuff is. That's where the powerful things happen. That's where the life-changing moments take place. Don't stop at the gate. I want to enter. But I'm not just wanting to enter and just stop here. If you invite me over to your house and I get through the gate of your front door, please don't leave me standing in the foyer the rest of the evening. Please allow me to come in and sit at your table. Please allow me to come in and and warm myself at your fireplace. Please allow me to come on in. I want to enter, but I don't want to get stopped at the entrance. I want to experience everything that there is. Don't you imagine that Jesus was loving their praise? He sent those disciples, go over into that place where two ways meet, and you're going to find a donkey tied up. Bring that donkey to me. They did. They put their own coats over the back of that donkey, and they set Jesus atop. And others spread their garments out in the road where that donkey was going to walk, carrying the Lord Jesus Christ. What was that all about? It was about their value of Him. It was about how important they believed Him to be. It was about how holy and incredible and powerful they believed Him to be. They were grabbing palm branches, and the Bible said that they were waving those palm branches. Thus we call this Palm Sunday. They were worshiping the Lord. This is a man who has been doubted. This is a man who has been ostracized. This is a man who is under the threat of arrest. This is a man who is being plotted against. This is a man who is being lied on and accused of blasphemy. Don't you know it felt good when Jesus was coming up that entryway, and He was the center of their attention, and all of them by the thousands all over Jerusalem. Man, I feel the Holy Spirit in this room. Don't you know He was loving their praise as they were crying out, Hosanna? He's saying, finally they realize who I am. Finally they recognize me as the one who came to deliver them and to save them from their sin. Don't you know He was loving this moment? It had to feel amazing. The people who had been rejecting Him, doubting Him, saying no to His message, now they are praising. There had to be some thought. I wonder if I should just stop here. Isn't this what I've been looking for? Isn't this what I've been hoping would happen? Should I just stop here? No, Jesus, you can't stop at the gate. This is just the triumphal entry. As incredibly as they're worshiping, as beautiful as this sound is, as revelatory as their understanding is, this is the Son of David. They're finally seeing who you are. But it's not over yet. You have to keep going, because the party doesn't happen at the gate. My sins are not forgiven at the gate. Deliverance doesn't happen at the gate. Keep going, Jesus, because if you keep going, in just a few more days, I'm going to be set free. If you'll keep going this time next Sunday, we're going to be celebrating a risen Savior who is the Lord. If you'll keep going, Lord, by this time next Sunday, I'm not going to be a slave to sin. I'm going to be set free, able to walk in boldness and confidence, because you have paid the price for me. No, don't stop at the gate. Lord, if you'll keep going, I'll keep going. I'll make praise just the entrance, and I'll find myself living a life of commitment. I'll find myself living a life of passion. I'm going to watch you take up your cross, and guess what, Lord? I'm going to take up my own cross and follow you. I'm going to see you resurrected, and Lord, I'm going to see myself resurrected as well. Because we can't stop at the gate. He was on His way to Easter, and so are we. He's moving toward His purpose, and so are we. Ah, but wait a minute, my purpose is praise. Listen, all of us, every single one of us are called to be worshipers. You haven't graduated from that. No matter what title you've attained, no matter how much responsibility you have or how many keys are on your ring, no one has graduated from being a worshiper. That's everyone's job. It's just the gate. So let me ask you three questions today. They're coming. I'm closing. But I'm going to ask you three questions about the gates in your life, about the stopping places, about the entrances. Three questions. The first question is this: what am I doing that I should not be doing? What am I doing right now that I should not be doing? I'm talking about the things that cause us to stop at the gate. The things that cause us to freeze and they stunt our growth. Things that keep us from moving forward. What am I doing that I should not be doing? Romans 12 and 2, do not conform any longer to the platform or the pattern, rather, of this world. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Or what about Proverbs 4? He said, let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Make level paths for your feet and take only ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. What am I doing that I should not be doing? Because you realize that Jerusalem is abuzz with Jesus' entrance. Who is this? Who is this? Some of them are going to learn His name for the first time. This is Jesus. This is, haven't you heard? Didn't you hear about blind? Have you heard about the woman with the issue of blind? Have you not heard? This is Jesus. All right, yeah, cool. But can I tell you that Pilate is going to stand before these same people in just a couple of days? His wife urging him. And he's going to ask the people, hey, what should I do with this Jesus? Oh, that name, there's that name again. What should we do? I don't know. Crucify him. Same people. Same ones worshiping his entrance are the ones that are going to sentence him. What am I doing that I should not be doing? Because I don't want my life to be thimble deep spiritually. That on Sunday is worshiping the Lord, but when the bad news comes on Monday, I'm cursing Him. What change can I make so that I can stop living at the beginning places, entrance places? Here's another question. Conversely to number one, what am I not doing that I should be doing? Your life, my life, what am I not doing that I should be? To him that knows to do good and he doesn't do it, you know what the Bible said? It's sin. Sin. What What am I not doing that I should be doing? Anyone, James 4 and 17, who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it. Matthew 6, give your entire attention to what God is doing right now, and then don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. What am I not doing that I should be doing? It's a question for everybody in this room. Because you know what? From one side of this auditorium to the other, from this stage all the way to that sound booth, God is calling all of us. Calling all of you. I'm asking everybody to take a step. I'm asking everyone to take a step. Maybe Easter season is the only time you go to church. He's saying, come on, why don't you add a few other Sundays to that? Come on, take a step. Take a step. What am I not doing that I should be doing? Here's the third question. Why not do it today? What am I doing that I should not be doing? It can't get any more simple than this. What am I not doing that I should be doing? And then, why not just do it? Whether I'm leaving something or coming towards, why not just do it? 2 Corinthians 6 and 2, I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Let me ask you this, and I'm finished. Do you remember that man in Acts chapter 3 who was paralyzed? And the Bible said that they brought him every single day and laid him where? They laid him at the gate. It's called Gate Beautiful. They set him down. Can't do anything with you. So every day of your life, we're going to bring you to the gate. I love this story. I think what was intended to be his end, many people thought it was. It actually became his entry to better things. How do you know that? Well, when Peter and John came and looked at them expecting to receive something, he's just trying to get alms, coins, change, a few dollars. Peter says, silver and gold, I don't have any of that, but what I do have is the power of Jesus Christ. And the Bible said, took him by the right hand, and immediately the Bible said that his ankle bones received strength. And he stood up. I don't think it was like me this morning that just about needed to call some help to get me out of bed. I just need to stand here a minute till my ankles. My feet are hurting from work day. Or I just need to unwind and unpop and try to get this back where it'll work. No, it wasn't. It wasn't the man that had been paralyzed for decades. No, the Bible said he immediately went leaping. Where did he go? He went into the temple. The gate was, it was just the entrance. You would think this man gets a miracle. I'm going to stand here at the gate, and all them same people that I've been seeing day after day and year after year, I'm going to wait and wave at all of them. Everybody that passed my cup and didn't put anything in, I'm going to stand here till I see every last one of them. Gate was just the entrance. He went running into his purpose, running into the miracle, running into his blessing. Let me ask you something. What are you going to do at the gate this Palm Sunday? You going to enter with thanksgiving, praise? Is that going to be it? Is that all you're going to do today? What else? What else does God have for you? What else does he want to do in your life? You're new to the church. I'm glad I found a church. I love the worship. What are you going to do next? What else are you going to find out that you may love? What other steps are you going to take? Where are you going to go from here? Are you going to keep moving beyond just praise and just beyond Palm Sunday and get all the way over into the commitment, the things that Jesus has? What do we do? We don't stop at the gate. We keep moving. We keep pressing. We keep going. Would you stand with me all over this room? Thank you, Jesus.